kingdom of God. Come on to Jesus, run into his arms. Come on to Jesus to enter the kingdom of God. Oh, you must become as a little child, as a little child, and come unto me. Yes, you must become as a little child to enter the kingdom of God. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
All people come.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mr. Armacost. What a great blessing. Let's take the Word of God this morning, and we will go to the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter number 14. In just a moment, we'll begin in verse number 25. We will read through to chapter 15 in verse number 2. So very thankful that you're here this morning, and I believe that really the heartbeat of any church should be their heart for missions. In fact, I believe that the heartbeat of our God is the heartbeat of missions. Someone once said that God had one son and he called him to be a missionary. He came into this world and he gave of himself. And tonight I want you to be here, and I appreciate this brother and his sacrifice, his heart, and I want to be a part of this. And India, now the most populous. Can you imagine? And they are so spiritually dark, they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning, as we come to Luke chapter number 14, it is a great passage of Scripture, but I want to warn you as I begin this passage that often this is a misinterpreted passage of Scripture. This is a passage that maybe is misunderstood. And I want to be very clear on the Bible today, and I want to ask you a question, which is the title for the message. Are you his disciple? Are you his disciple? Now, this morning, I'm not specifically speaking about salvation, because in order to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ, we must first know him as our personal Savior. We must put our faith and trust in him, knowing that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But this morning, in Luke chapter 14, Christ here is speaking about discipleship. Now, most of the time when we hear the word discipleship, we might think of a discipleship course for new converts. We have that, and we want to, obviously, people who come to know the Lord as their Savior, we want them to get grounded in God's Word, but that's only a part of discipleship. God has called every one of us here to know Him, but also to follow Him, to be His disciple. The question that I have for you this morning, and the question that I have for my own heart and self, is this: are we his disciples? You say, well, Pastor, I come to church. That doesn't mean that you're a disciple of Christ. There were many people that came to hear Jesus that were not his disciples. They did not follow after him. You say, well, preacher, I've been saved. Wonderful, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you are his disciple. You say, Pastor, I've been baptized after I've been saved. Wonderful, that's the first step of obedience, but that does not mean that you're his disciple. You say, preacher, I've been a Christian for many years. I've been a part of a church for many years. Wonderful. But that doesn't mean that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, In this message here that Christ is giving, Christ turns to the multitudes of people and he speaks to them on the conditions to be his disciple. Let's read it together. Luke chapter number 14, and let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 25. Luke chapter 14, and let us begin in verse number 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, look what he says, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Chapter 15 and verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now the Lord Jesus here, can you imagine the scene? There is a great multitude that has followed Jesus Christ. We understand that many of them, no doubt, wanted to see a miracle. Maybe some of them were hungry and they were hoping that he would feed them. Christ had done this before. He had fed we talk about the feeding of the 5,000 and many other miracles. But they are following after Jesus. And it is almost as if Christ, in that moment, knowing the hearts and minds of every individual that was following after him, Christ turned and he preached to them. And in a sense, Jesus drew a line in the sand and said, if you really want to follow after me, here are the conditions. Here are the requirements for being my disciple. In fact, three times in this passage that we notice, Jesus said, unless you fulfill this, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my disciple. I wonder this morning, sitting in a building like this with as many people as we have here today, can you ask yourself the question, am I a disciple? Am I a follower of Jesus Christ? I'm so thankful that you're here today. It's a blessing and you've been obedient to the Lord to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You're here and I commend you for it. But the real question today that I have for you and that I have for my own heart, are we truly his disciples? Do you know, in fact, that not everyone who is identified with Jesus Christ is really his disciple? Not everyone who has identified himself with Jesus Christ is really following after Christ. In fact, in this parable, we are dealing with the cost of discipleship. And I want you to hear me out this morning, and I mean this with all my heart because I believe this. Brethren, there is no painless way to follow Jesus Christ. There is a cross to bear. Some people think that the ideal of following Christ, that everything is going to be easy and everything is going to be glorious and everything is going to be joyous if we follow Christ. And please know that there is great blessings. There is untold blessings. And following Jesus is the greatest thing that I've ever done in my life. And I love to follow after Jesus. But there is the cross to bear. There is the denying of self. And there is choosing Jesus above everyone else. And may God help us in this passage. Now, to help you understand this, let's go to John chapter number 8, if you would, please. You're there in Luke, and we will go back to Luke chapter 14 in just a moment. But would you turn to John chapter number 8? Because Christ here is speaking of this again. Now, please understand, there are no, in a sense, conditions for salvation. The Lord does not say to us, you do this and do this and this, and then I will save you. No, salvation is a free gift of God, purchased with the shed blood of His own Son, Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith. We do nothing to obtain salvation. But when it comes to discipleship, when it comes to being a follower of Jesus Christ, are you meeting the requirements? John chapter number 8, we come to verse number 29. Notice what the Bible says. John 8, verse 29. Jesus said, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these, as he spake these words, many believed on him." What a wonderful thing. People put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But notice what he said. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Now, their salvation was secure and it was settled. They were believers of Jesus Christ. And I've asked people before, are you a believer of Jesus Christ? I don't know that I've ever asked anybody, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Because that's really where it gets down to the heart issue. And by the way, I know it's Sunday morning, and maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, this is a tough message." But it's tough for all of us, because this is what Christ would speak to us. This is what Jesus would say to us. And here are these Jews in John chapter number 8 that they believed on him. He was preaching and they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They believed that he was who he said he was. And then Jesus turned to them and said, he said, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed?" And the question that I have for you this morning is, are you continuing in the Word of God? And I'm talking about, are you continuing to obey the Bible? Are you continuing to hide God's Word in your heart? Is God's Word precious to you? Are you continuing in the steps of the Word of God? Because if you are not, then you are not His disciple indeed. By the way, the last place that you chose not to obey Christ is the last place that you chose to follow Jesus Christ. You see, I believe that there are some Christians who they get saved, they come to know the Lord as their Savior, and they begin growing in their Christian faith. And it's wonderful to behold. By the way, there's nothing like a newborn baby Christian. I mean, there's nothing like it. They're hungry for God's Word, but I have seen many of them get to a place to where, oh boy, it's a decision. Will they deny themselves? Will they take up their cross? And will they follow Jesus Christ? And they come to that decision where they say, "Nope, I'm not going that far." And that is where they stop in their Christian life. Will they go to heaven? Absolutely. But were they a follower of Jesus Christ? No, they are not. So I'm going to give you some thoughts this morning I pray that God can use in our hearts and lives. And please hear me out. This message is for me. This message is for all of us. I don't want to just be a spectator. I don't want to be a person that just sits in the pew and does nothing for Jesus Christ. I don't want to just be a believer in Christ. I want to be His disciple. By the way, folks, God has called all of us to be His disciple. He has called every one of us to follow after Him. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. I'm not a school teacher. I'm not a full-time worker. Brethren, I want you to know something. God has called all of us, whether we are in full-time ministry or not, He has called all of us to be full-time followers of Jesus Christ. So number one, we notice in our passage the must of discipleship. The must. By the way, do you know something? There is no middle ground. You are either this morning following after Jesus Christ or you are not following after Jesus Christ. This morning, you're either His disciple or you are not His disciple today. There is no middle ground. There is the must of discipleship. In fact, we go back to Luke chapter number 14. Would you turn back there? Because I don't want you to misunderstand the Bible. Now, notice what Jesus Christ says here. We come to Luke chapter number 14. And notice what He says, once again, in verse number 26. He says, if any man come to Me. Now, the ideal there is that if a person says, I want to follow Jesus. I want to come after Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. I can remember the time in my life after I came to know the Lord as my Savior that I said, Jesus, You can take my life and do whatever You want to do in my life. And you know what? Then God began to put a desire in my heart to preach. And can I tell you? I didn't want to preach. In a sense, there was a battle going on in my heart. Would I yield to God? Would I deny myself? Or would I yield to Him? Would I surrender to Him? Or would I yield to self? We come back to this passage in Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come to Me, and then we look at this word, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters. Now, when I first read that with my two sisters, I thought I can do that, all right? But I'm joking. Yea, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. Now, the word hate there that we find in Luke chapter 14 is not the same word that we might use that we despise something or someone. I think all of you know here, pretty much everybody knows that I hate Brussels sprouts. I just do. I do not think God intended for us to eat something that smells so bad, all right? I hate them. I just hate it, all right? Now, I know there's lots of people in here that... How many loves Brussels sprouts? Would you raise your hand? You all are godly people, all right? I'm still growing in my sanctification, all right? But I just hate it. And I have eaten them. You say, well, Pastor, have you eaten them? Yes, I have eaten them. One of the worst days of my life, all right? I just want you to know that. I thought soon Jesus was coming, all right? Or I was going to see Him soon, all right? But... can I just say that there are certain things that I hate? There are certain things. I hate certain types of food. I grew up in Tennessee. I hate snakes, all right? I just despise them. But the word here, hate, is not a hatred like someone would hate someone. The word hate has to do with our decision. It has to do with simply this. Now, by the way, let me say this to you. What can we find on earth that is more blessed of God than our precious relationship with our families? God puts such a high esteem on mothers and fathers and their children. And what can be more blessed and sacred on earth than the relationship with a man and his wife? God puts such a esteem on that. And by the way, what does God command husbands to do? It is to love their wives. So is the Bible in contradiction here? Absolutely not. The emphasis here is that, yes, we are to love our children. Yes, we are to love our parents. And yes, we are to love our siblings. And yes, we are to love our spouses. And we are to love and care for them. But let me say this to you. Any time that there is a conflict, maybe between father and mother, between husband and wife, between son and daughter, and there is a conflict between any of these and Christ. And the decision is, will we follow after family? Will we follow after sibling? Will we follow after them? Or will we follow after Christ? The must of discipleship is that we must choose Jesus Christ. That is the decision. It is not that we despise our family. It is not that we allow our family to go to the devil. No, we love our family. Men, we are to lead our families. And men, we are to love our wives. And wives are to submit themselves under the leadership of their husbands. And they are to love one another. And it is a beautiful relationship. And children are to be in obedience to their mom and dad. There is nothing more sacred and nothing more beautiful than that. But when there is a decision on whether I will follow after family, or I will follow after Jesus Christ, the must of discipleship that Christ was saying is, you must choose Christ. Years ago, when I was a youth pastor, I had heard the story about a young lady who was in a teen group. She was not in our teen group, but this young lady was wanting to follow after Jesus Christ. She wanted to serve the Lord, and God, she believed, had called her to go to the mission field. And she was heading that way, but she loved her parents, obviously. Her dad, and I don't think he did a wise thing, but her dad begged her, do not go to the mission field. Do not leave your mother and I. Please do not go. And sadly, that girl chose to stay home. Now, there's nothing wrong with being home. But if Christ has called you to follow Him to a distant land, the decision of discipleship is that I love my parents, I love my siblings, I love the homeland that God has given me, but I will follow Jesus Christ. Amen. That is when Jesus said, unless you hate father, mother, wife, brother, you cannot be my disciple. Folks, that does not mean that we neglect our families for the sake of the ministry. I think there has been a dangerous and a very unbiblical philosophy in life that you just serve God and God will take care of your family. No. I believe you're to love your family and spend time with your family and take care of them and lead your family to Christ and be the leader in your home as men, as God has called us to be. But when the decision is made, I'll never forget when I knew that God had called me to be a preacher. I knew it. Now, I didn't know really what that entailed. Now, I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, Southern boy through and through. Sweet tea running through my veins every way, all right? And you know something? I had just lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, and Somerset, Kentucky. I mean, that was pretty much it. I remember the day that my wife and I had been married, and 3 months after that, we were to leave Knoxville and go to Peoria, Illinois. That seemed like another country, you know? My papa told me, he said, son, them Yankees up there, them different people, you know? And he'd never even been to Illinois, you know? He never even met one. But I remember the day that we loaded up our truck. We didn't have much to load up. But I remember loading up that truck. My dad and I'm his only son, I remember, buddy, it was tough. I remember getting in that truck, weeping and crying as we drove away. Now, I know that is such a small matter compared to what others have given up for Christ. It is such a small thing compared to what many missionaries give up to go to a foreign land. But for me, it was a difficult thing. And I remember getting to Illinois and thinking, man, I wave at these people. They don't wave back at me, you know? And there is no sweet tea in the whole state of Illinois when I got there. And it was strange. It was different. A new church, a new ministry. Everything was different. But can I tell you something? I wanted to go back. But I knew that to follow Jesus Christ, it was that I love my family. I care for them. But I must follow Jesus Christ. You see, in a sense, someone once said that it seems, as the Bible says, hatred because of our great love for our Savior. I love my wife, and I thank God for her. And I'd rather be with her than anybody else on the face of the earth. But if there is ever a decision whether I will follow Christ or follow my wife, I must choose Jesus Christ. It is wonderful to have parents, but if there's ever a decision on whether I will obey the parents or obey Jesus, I must obey Jesus Christ. You see, the decision, the must of discipleship, So many people make so many excuses today on why they will not follow after Jesus Christ. And a lot of those excuses are based on family, but really it is based on they just don't want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Christ here is setting aside that the conflict or the decision to be made, there must be that I will follow Jesus Christ. Now, Christ would never ask us to do anything that would be in violation of His word or in violation of hurting our families. But may God help us. The must of discipleship is we follow after Him. Now, I believe that God gives us three different requirements in the must of discipleship. Notice what it says. It first begins with the family and those closest friendships. Folks, do you know something? I know people that love their families, but they love their families more than they love God. Do you know that we can love our families in the wrong way? Now, by the way, how has God commanded me to love my wife as Christ loved the church? Can I tell you something? That is an impossibility to do without Jesus enabling me to love her. That's an impossible thing to do. So the love here is not that we're to love them less, or we're to, no, but the ideal here is that we are to follow after Christ. We are to love Him. I remember the story years ago of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Now, this was before Spurgeon got married, but Spurgeon was preaching at a meeting, a preacher's meeting, and he was there preaching, and Susanna, his girlfriend, if you want to call it at the time, was with him. In fact, they had come to the meeting together, and she was there to hear him preach to this great congregation, but he got so involved in his preaching and so involved in his ministry that when the service was over, he left without his girlfriend. He just left and he went home. And it was not because he did not care for her or love her. And in the biography, Susanna stated she knew at that time that Charles Haddon Spurgeon's heart was to follow after Jesus Christ above everything else, and that Jesus was going to be preeminent in his life, and she was always going to have second place. But she was fine with that because she knew that to him, Christ, he was going to follow after Jesus Christ. By the way, do you know that some spouses hinder their spouses from following after Jesus Christ? They hinder them from going to church. Oh, no, don't go to church. Stay with me today. When the decision has to be made, we must follow after Jesus Christ. Some parents hinder their children from following after Christ. Well, you can't leave us. You can't follow after the Lord. No, you can't do that. I remember years ago hearing the story about a young man that wanted to be a preacher, and God had called him to be a preacher. He was going to have to go to Bible college and to train to serve the Lord. And his dad said, "Son, look, I love you. I don't want you to go, son. Son, I'll tell you what, I'll buy you a brand new car. If you won't go to college, you know, stay right here." Sadly, that young man took that offer, and he never did what God had called him to do. You see, brethren, when the choice has to be made, we are following after Christ. In fact, the Bible goes on to talk about in verse 27, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Look in verse 33. "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Do you know that the Lord says that first there must be a denying of self? In fact, the Bible says that we must deny self. And I want to talk to you about this for a second. The word deny means to completely disown. Do you remember what Peter did when there, right before Jesus was to be crucified? They said, "Peter, wait a minute. Aren't you one of his disciples? Aren't you one of his followers?" And Peter went back to his old fisherman days and brought up that old nasty language. And Peter said, I know not the man. You know what Peter did? He denied that he knew him. In fact, Peter went back to that old language and he cursed and he said, I know not the man. Can I tell you what Peter did that day? Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But brethren, if you're going to follow after Jesus Christ, if you're going to be his follower, you must deny self. By the way, we live in a world today that does not want to deny self. Self is everything to some people. In fact, to some people, life, the world revolves around them. My feelings and what I want and my will to be done and I want control and I want this. But if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you must deny self. In fact, that means, as the Bible says, you don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You deny self. Some people cannot follow after Jesus Christ because they are enraged in their own addictions and they are living for self. They're consumed with self and they will not deny that sin. They will not deny the addictions in their life because they will not follow after Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you do not deny yourself, you cannot be my disciple. In fact, the Bible goes on to talk about that you must take up your cross. Now, let me tell you something, ladies. The cross you have to bear is not your husband, all right? I just want you to know that. Men, the cross you bear is not your wife. In fact, taking up your cross is not having to deal with an unsaved spouse. Taking up your cross is not dealing with some physical handicap. Taking up your cross is not dealing with some incurable disease. Taking up your cross is not dealing with people that maybe are difficult to deal with. Can I tell you what it means to take up your cross? Well, think of Jesus speaking this to these people. They knew what it meant to take up a cross because, you see, during Jesus' day, the cross was not just a figment of something they could imagine. It was a reality. In fact, historians tell us that during the Roman authority, and especially during the days of Jesus, that they put on the cross over 30,000 individuals. Can you imagine that? They crucified people on the cross. Jesus was not the only one to be crucified on a cross, but they knew what it meant when Jesus said, you've got to take up your cross. You know what it meant? It meant simply, there's a price to be paid. It meant there is a willingness to endure shame. There is a willingness to endure embarrassment for Jesus Christ's sake. To bear with reproach for Jesus Christ's sake. To suffer rejection for Jesus Christ's sake. To suffer persecution. You must be willing to take up your cross. The cross was not a beautiful picture. The cross was a picture of shame. It was mockery. You see, the cross represented suffering that is ours because of our relationship to Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, if you're not willing to take up your cross, you cannot be my disciple. You know, some people want to be undercover Christians today. Can I tell you something? You are not a disciple of Jesus Christ. In fact, I think if we really dealt with it in our hearts, we would understand that many of us are far from really being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Because there's some areas. By the way, I think some Christians get to the place where they say, yep, I'm going to do that. Lord wants me to do that. I'll do that. Lord's asked me to do that. Absolutely, I'll do that. And then the Lord brings something in their life. They say, well, wait a minute. That's a little too far. That hits too home to my heart. And by the way, the Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Often God deals with the very issues of our heart. You remember that man in the Word of God that was going to follow after Jesus? And you remember that Jesus said, sell everything that you have and give it all to the poor and come and follow me. And you know what the man did? The man went away sorrowful because the Bible says he had much goods. Now, there was nothing wrong with the man being wealthy. There was nothing wrong with the man having goods. But Jesus went to the heart because his heart was those things. His heart was that I love these more than I love Jesus. I love this more than I love Christ. And I will not follow after him. Brethren, we must deny self. And we must take up our cross. You see, I want you to take your Bibles, go to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter 2, and let me explain this clearly. Our Lord said that our cross must be born if we are going to be His disciples. Folks, if you're not willing to bear the cross, you cannot be His disciples. In fact, do you know that on the cross, Jesus, the Bible says, emptied of Himself. He emptied Himself. He denied self, and denying self and taking up your cross, in a sense, go hand in hand. You see, we often think of bearing a cross. Well, I got this tough thing to deal with, preacher. I got to bear my cross. That's not necessarily your cross. Folks, can I tell you something? A cross for you might mean that you're going to lose some friends because you're going to follow after Jesus Christ. It might mean that you suffer persecution and you are misunderstood. Well, I think one of the toughest things as a Christian is often being misunderstood. You know, often we suffer rejection, betrayal from friends, betrayal from others. What? Listen, Jesus, the Bible says many forsook Him and fled. In fact, at the time of His crucifixion, they all forsook Jesus Christ. He came into His own and His own received Him not, but He bore His cross. Look what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 1. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Look here. But made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus, God Himself, became a servant. You know what He did? He took upon Himself the form of a servant. He humbled Himself. Jesus, the one who created men, was willing to be spat upon. Jesus, the one who could destroy death and life in a moment, humbled Himself and became a servant. But there are some Christians who they, in a sense, they say, I'm not going that far. I am only, by the way, I know of people, you can ask them to do certain things, but there's a certain level they will not do. In fact, you don't ask them to do anymore. Why? Because they don't have a servant's heart. They are not willing to take up their cross. And the cross bearing is a picture of shame. You know, sometimes we have the idea of following Jesus is glory and praise and honor, but that's not cross bearing. Cross bearing is that we are willing to suffer shame and rejection and humiliation for the name of Jesus Christ. That is the must of discipleship. Jesus was very clear. You cannot be my disciple unless you fulfill this. Number two, we look at not only do we see the must of discipleship, but secondly, in closing, we see the mission of our Lord. Now let's go back to Luke chapter 14, because I want you to see something else that can often be misunderstood in the Bible. In fact, there are many passages in the Bible that are misunderstood and misrepresented, and this is one of them. Let's look back now in verse number 28. Luke chapter 14, and he's speaking, but he continues this thought, and he says this, verse 28 of Luke 14, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Now, the Lord here gives the illustration of a builder. Here's a builder. He's building a tower. And then he gives this illustration of a king a warrior who is going out in battle. Now, don't misrepresent this passage. This passage is not talking about necessarily about a foolish person who did not take into account how much he needed to build the tower or how many men he needed to wage war. That's not the emphasis of the passage because it's not the context of what is given here. Can I tell you what the context? Jesus is the builder. Jesus is building. What's he building? His kingdom. And Jesus is the warrior. He is not just building, he is battling. And here's the ideal. Folks, I'm going to just tell you this. If you're building something, you don't want a crew of lazy men who gripe and complain about the conditions of building. You know what you want? You want men who will work hard, not complaining, not griping, but men who will do what is necessary to get the job done. But let's talk about a warrior. If you're a captain, and Jesus is the captain in our passage, and if you're the captain, you don't want a bunch of men who are whining and crying and ready to run home when trouble gets tough and difficult. Jesus here is talking about discipleship. Can I tell you something? If we're going to follow Christ, we're building. We're not building our work. By the way, Jesus said, I will build my church. It's not our church. It's His. And we are following after Christ. But as we must understand that we are building. And if we are building, that means there's labor. That means there's heartache. That means there's suffering. There is a price to be paid. And guess what? We're not just building. We're battling. Because the forces of the devil are against us. Let me tell you this, brethren, if you want to follow after Jesus Christ, listen, there is a spiritual warfare. It is a battle that is waging. And often some people are weary of the battle and they quit following Jesus Christ. And some people are weary of the war and they stop following after Jesus. But the mission of our Lord. Brethren, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not here on earth to do my mission, to do my work. It is His work. It is His mission. And what is His mission? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And brethren, our mission is the same as His. We are following after Christ. Folks, the Lord Jesus, He turned to this multitude and He said to them, I'm going to tell you something. In the hour of great conflict, if you are not willing to forsake houses and lands and family, you cannot be my disciple. And in the hour of battle, when you are battling and the war is tough and wearisome, you can't just quit and go home. You cannot be my disciple. And as we are building and there are setbacks and there is discouragement and there is hardship in that time of building, if you quit and give up, you cannot be my disciple. Jesus is saying, I am a builder, I am a warrior. And if I'm going to build what must be built, I must have people who are willing to pay the price and follow after Jesus Christ. But hear me out this morning. Brethren, I want to tell you something. Following Jesus is the greatest thing in this world. There is nothing greater than that. There is no more joy, there is no more reward than you can ever imagine if you will give of yourself and follow after Jesus Christ. Early this morning, I told the Lord, Lord, my life is yours. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. It's yours, Lord. Now, do we have dreams? Sure, we all do. Do we have desires? Sure, we all do. Do we have a will that must be broken? Yes, it must be. And so often the real battle is you and God. You know, I've come to understand as a pastor, sometimes people's problems is not me, it's them and God. It's really their fellowship with God. I just happen to be the person that has to deal with it. And so often parenting children is not really them and their parents. It's them and their attitude toward God. And so often in a marital relationship, it's not really them against one another. It's them and God. And when they get things right with God, they'll be right with one another. And brethren, when we follow after Jesus Christ, when we say, Lord, here's my life. I will take up my cross and I will follow you and I will deny self. Then and only then can we be His disciple. I want you to know this today. I want to be His disciple. Do you want to be His disciple? Do Do you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Now, let me tell you something. Oh, brother, I'm going to tell you something. These disciples who followed after Christ, they got to see things that nobody else got to see. They got to be a part of things that nobody else got to be a part of. In fact, Jesus himself said, if you will forsake houses and lands and families for my sake, Jesus said, I will bless you 100-fold here on this earth and in the life to come. Brethren, listen, God is no debtor to any man. And if you will step out and follow after Jesus Christ, and I don't know what that means for you. You know, for some people, it's the matter of faithful obedience in the matter of baptism. I'm so thankful. I know John Warman and his granddaughter Cheyenne. And I'll tell you, that took courage and obedience and saying, I just want to follow after Jesus Christ. And they got baptized last Sunday. But for some people, it's there. They're not going to take that step. That's too embarrassing to do. You would take up your cross and follow after Christ. For some people, it's the matter of tithing. That money is mine. I'm not going to give that money to God. But no, folks, it belongs to Him. It all belongs to Him. And we are robbing God when we do not give of the tithe to Him. For some people, it's I'm not going to make that decision for Jesus Christ. Then you cannot be His disciple. Listen, I don't know what it is in your life, and you don't know what it is in my life. But may God help us today. That we, in a sense, wave the white flag to Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of going against you. Lord, I give you all. And when we give all, that's when life, that's when the joy of life. Oh, listen, it's not without hurts and sorrow and heartache. But there is no life like following after Jesus. Oh, may God help us today. Are you His disciple? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. Lord, I know this morning this was a pointed message because your word is as a sharp sword that pierces our hearts. Lord, it pierces my heart as well. And I pray that, Lord, we would surrender and yield to you, that we would say, yes, I will follow. I will obey. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many this morning would say, Preacher, God has spoken to me this morning. He has dealt with me about something specific in my life that I know that has to be dealt with so that I can be His disciple. If you say that's me this morning, Preacher, pray for me. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, Pastor. Amen. Amen all over. I appreciate your honesty before God because we know what that is, whatever that is in our life. Oh, may the Lord help us to surrender it, to place it at His feet, to pick up our cross and to follow Him. How many would say today, Preacher, I don't even know Jesus as my personal Savior this morning. I don't know where I'd go if I died today. Would you pray for me? I will not embarrass you or call you out or come to you and no one is looking. But if you say, Pastor, would you remember me in prayer? Because I don't know where I'd go if I died today. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand and hold it high? Pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me this morning. Now, Christian believer in Christ, this is a moment of decision. In fact, the most important time of the service is now. Let's follow after Him. Let's stand together, would you please? I want to have a word of prayer together. And then we're going to sing. But when the music begins, that's your cue to say, Lord, what have you put in my heart? By the way, you say, well, I don't have to come to the altar. I know that. It takes a step of faith and courage, and it takes a step of identifying with Jesus to leave your seat and come. It takes humility to do it as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this, Lord, time to be together. I love your dear people. But Lord, I pray that we would say yes to you. Lord, I don't want you to look at me one day and say, you could not have been my disciple. Father, help us to yield ourselves to you. And whatever the thing in our life that is holding us back from being your disciple, may we yield to it this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and we'll go to hymn number 496. All to Jesus I surrender. Would you surrender all to Him? God's spoken to you this morning. Leave your place and come. Find a place here. Let the Lord have His way. Hymn number 496.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Amen. I want to thank you for being here this morning. I do have just a couple of announcements to make. And if I can, Brother Bill, can you take one of those chairs, those stools, and let's put it in the foyer for Brother Warman here in just a minute, one of those out of there. But John Warman and his granddaughter Cheyenne were baptized last Sunday. They both know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're coming today to be members of Grace Baptist Church. And I'm so very thankful for them. I tell you, he has such a sweet spirit, him and his granddaughter both love the Lord, and they love our church, you know? And they even like me. That's a great thing, all right? And we had a great time of fellowship last week, and I'm just so thankful. So they are going to join us, my wife and I, in the back. And I want you to come through and shake their hand and welcome them into our church congregation. I've been their pastor for a long time. They just chose now to be members, all right? So that's a good thing, and we're so thankful to have them. So, Brother Warman, if you and Cheyenne want to make your way in the back there. And I'll ask Brother Ninan if he wants to head to his table. Tonight, he's going to be speaking. We'll have another video tonight, and it's going to be really good. So I really appreciate that. So if he wants to head back there, and he'll talk a lot about India tonight. And of course, you know all the different things. And I thought it was kind of funny yesterday. I said to him, I picked him up from the airport. I said, "Preacher, I'm going to take you somewhere and buy you a good meal." And you know, India, the cows and all that. He said, "Preacher, I like beef. Let's go eat some steak." All right. So that's what we did. All right. And so. But anyway, so come tonight. We'll have a good time of fellowship together, and it'll be a great, great blessing. Brother Stevenson, would you come and close this word of prayer? And my wife and I and the Warmans will greet you on the way out today and welcome them into the family here at Grace Baptist.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you choose to let us be involved in your work and being a disciple of you. And I pray, Lord, that we would forsake the world, forsake everything, and choose to keep our eyes on you, take up our cross, and follow you. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, give us the wisdom that we need to be able to do these things. Thank you for your word that is readily available for us. And I pray that we would learn from you. Thank you for this service. And I pray that you'd bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.